you want to open up to Romans 15, we'll look at our theme scripture. So I want to talk about a bit about trust today. We rely a lot on trust in life in general. We trust the food that we buy to keep us healthy. We trust the cars that we buy to get us from A to B. We trust people to stay on their side of the road. You know, we trust our roofs not to cave in, that kind of thing. You know, we rely a lot on trust. And it's kind of like a lesson that we learn quite quickly, I think, in life. When either someone's untrustworthy or kind of betrays you, it hurts, it burns you, and you learn really quick from that. And it's something we all go through, who and what to trust. I learned my lesson quite young. There was a time when, I've said this before, but Tessa and I were boxing in the back garden, and we'd just watched a movie, and I was being a bit cheeky and, you know, giving her the jab in the head, and like, I wasn't going too hard, but I was giving it to her, and then all of a sudden she's like, George, stop. And I was genuinely concerned, so I put my hands down. She just went bang, just straight in my face. She ran inside and locked the door. And I learned my lesson after that, and I know the Lord wouldn't let me down like that. So, but yeah, it's a harsh reality sometimes when we get burned. So trust is a massive thing in life, but it's a massive thing in the spirit as well, in our daily walk. So in Romans 15, in verse 19, it says, just the first part, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. And we do have the power to do miraculous things, but only if we're led of the Spirit, only if we're trusting in that Spirit and relying on that Spirit. As soon as we, you know, take matters into our own hands, things start to wobble and life starts to go downhill a bit. But if you want mighty wonders, if you want a deliverance or you need a miracle, it's only going to happen by the Spirit. And the thing with trust is that if you're trusting in someone, a lot of the time you're left waiting. So it's quite hard to stay idle and let, you're trusting someone else to do the job for you. But it's really important that it says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's important that we completely trust the Lord to do these miracles. So that's what we're going to talk a bit about today. Is the trust aspect, letting the Lord do his job, and us waiting, being faithful, trusting in him and waiting for those signs and wonders to come and dwelling on the Spirit. So let's turn to Matthew 14. We're going to look at a few stories which were pretty amazing. Matthew 14. So this is the story when Peter walks on the water, and we'll pick it up in verse... Matthew 14, verse 24, and it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they crieth out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me to come unto thee on the water, unto the water, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto them, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? And I mean, in our sense, someone walking on the water is insane as it is, and Peter does it, but you know, he doesn't think about the task. He even suggests to the Lord, like, you know, if you want me to do this, I'll come unto you. He doesn't really consider the logistics of the situation. But as soon as he kind of, you know, leans on his own understanding, before he looks down and, you know, what am I doing? You know, that's when he starts to sink. And the same for us in the Lord. You know, when we take matters into our own hands, our perspective turns away from the Lord. And we're not trusting in the Lord to do his job. That's when we start to sink, and that's when things can go astray. And it's only human to doubt, you know, so don't beat yourself up. It's so natural just to want to grab things and sort things out. I'm terrible for it. I'm really impatient, but you know, we can save ourselves so much hassle if we just let the Lord take control. I think there's some times when we're waiting and we're waiting, and it's we just all of a sudden, you hear in testimonies, people, you know, they're praying, but then they start taking things into their own hands, and it doesn't go the way they thought, the way they expected. But as soon as they have dedicated prayer, have a prayer and fast, or bring their needs like with a whole heart towards the Lord, you know, He really comes through. And all that stuff before is just unnecessary. So if we take the plunge early, if we let the Lord do His job, we will see mighty signs and mighty wonders. It's just that letting go. We've got to let go, let the Lord do His job. And it's, I quite like verse 31 here, and says, when Jesus says, "O thou little faith, where didst thou doubt?" I can imagine just Jesus laughing at Peter and saying, you know who I am. You know I've got you in the shadow of my wing. What are you stressing for? And it's the same for us. It's so obvious. The Lord's done so much for us. We know the Lord works in our lives. We've seen Him work wonders. How many people in the room can testify of that? We've seen it before, but it's still a learning process. We still have to learn to let go. You can save yourself so much drama just by letting the Lord do His job. And it made me think of a time when I went swimming. I think I was about 10, and I was jumping. I was gearing myself up to jump off a tree, to swing off a tree into the river. And I'd been sitting there for like 10 minutes just looking at the water. And then I thought, all right, I'll gear up and do it. And as I went, I didn't completely jump onto the rope. I kind of backed out the last minute. And as I went down into the water, my foot got caught on the on a rope. So I was hanging under the water. My leg was in the air, and I was hanging under the water. And I couldn't, for a brief second, I couldn't lift myself up. It was really scary. And I was freaking out. But if you hesitate, and if you don't take the plunge, commit with a whole heart, you know, you can make it so much worse for yourself. You can begin to doubt yourself. But let the Lord do His job. He's got you in the palm of His hand. He's got you in the shadow of His wing. It's just a matter of trusting in Him and letting go. Trust in Him, let go. So let's turn to John 11. Letting go is a hard thing, especially when we build up in our heads, you know, how things we want them to go. I for sure like to plan. I'm a very perfectionist kind of person. And I like things in order. And when things don't go to plan, I get stressed. And I think that's hard when you're seeking for something, is letting go and letting the Lord's timing be perfect. But I think this is an awesome story for this kind of example. This is a story of Lazarus. So we'll pick it up in verse 1. So John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, "Lord, behold, the whom Thou lovest is sick." And when Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He'd heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. So He hears that Lazarus is sick, and, you know, Mary and Martha are a bit stressed out. But in verse 6 here it says, you know, when He'd heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place. It's kind of, if I was Mary and Martha, I'd be like, what's going on? I just told you that this thing's quite serious. Are you going to do anything? Verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, you go unto him." And like, Jesus is so chill in this situation. The way it's worded there, you know, I'm glad I wasn't there. It's a bit, whoa, like, whose side are you on, sort of thing. And how annoying is it when someone is, you're so frustrated and you're raging, and someone else is so calm and reasonable? It's like, that's not what I want to hear, you know? So it would have been quite distressing for Mary and Martha at the time. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not have died. So she's recognizing that, you know, you're late, you've come at the wrong time, now all it's over. Like, where have you been? Verse 22, but this is the part I really love. But I know that even now, whatsoever wilt thou ask of God, God will give it thee. And I think that's an amazing attitude. Even after her brother has died, even after the worst of the worst has happened, she still believes that God can intervene. She still believes that God can bring a good result. That is an intensely high level of trust, you know, and sometimes that's like that for us when we're going through a trial and we're expecting the Lord to come at a certain time, like Mary and Martha, expecting him to come before their brother had died, but they don't. And then once the tragedy has happened, you know, it'd be so easy for us just to give up and say, okay, it's over. But Martha says here, you know, in verse 22, but I even know now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And that's just a lesson we can learn with that amount of trust is awesome. And yeah, like I said before, it's so stressful when you can't do something about it, when you're relying on someone else to do the job. It's a hard thing, but it's different with God. God isn't flesh. We're not giving our problems to a man or a woman or... I don't know what other than that is. We're not giving, you know, our problems to a person. We're giving it to God. It says, you know, God is... When we are weak, God is strong. And there's a song that I'd heard when we were visiting England, and it says... It was a song about this story, Lazarus, and it says, isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. And it doesn't matter if the worst of the worst has happened. The Lord's still on time. His timing's perfect. We just got to trust that he's coming, even when all that hope is lost. God is final. It isn't over until he says so. So keep trusting in him, even if the worst has happened. He's the best man for the job. All right, let's finish up in Psalm 127. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen immediately. You're going to immediately be able to trust in the Lord. It's just a process that we all go through. Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. And if you let the Lord go before you, if you're stirring up the Spirit, you're going to have no issues. You're going to see signs and wonders. It's only until we have our own opinions and schedules and whatever, it's only when we have an input that it goes to mush. And it says here in verse 1, except the Lord build the house, I labor in vain that build it. You know, it's just vanity. It's just pointless if we're the ones building ourselves up. It's got to be from the Lord. So save yourself the trouble, trust, and you'll get the wonders that you are after. All the people said, "Amen." All right, I'll leave it there. Hand over, Pastor Kevin.